You are on Hot Business on Hot 102.7, keeping you company in the traffic and talking business. Today, we speak to the CEO of FirstRand, Alan Pullinger. FirstRand put out a very decent set of results today. Very nice surprise on the dividend as well. Alan, good evening. Thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Petri, and hello to your listeners. Yeah, I'm pretty chuffed about the dividend. We were able to increase the annual dividend and then also do a special dividend on top of that. So a really good story. And I guess the dividends, really matter to shareholders now, in an inflationary world when investors and pension funds and, are all looking for cash flow. I mean, it's great to be able to reward our shareholders. And so, yeah, it's a strategic point we targeted when we went into the pandemic. We specifically said, let's be cautious, let's protect the balance sheet, let's build capital, let's get ourselves into a really strong position sort of at the end of the pandemic. And we're delighted that we've landed here, we've got the capital, and we can return it to shareholders.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I think, even looking at the way the market responded, yes, it opened really high, the share price this morning, and then it's drifted down some, but still solidly positive on the day. In a very tough environment. I mean, if we look at the U-turn markets made on Tuesday, essentially after the Fed, after the CPI data that came out of the U.S., it's been really hard going to find green in the market. So I think you're 100% right. The market really pleased with the fact that you guys are paying out, well, a bigger than usual annual dividend and a special dividend. What's the rationale behind the special dividend?
I guess it's just a point in time build-up of capital. I mean, if you think about what happened to our dividend story in the pandemic, the first thing we did is we lifted the cover. We were paying out at a 1.7 times cover. We lifted it to 1.8. So that means we paid out a kind of a less generous dividend during the pandemic. And you will also recall that the banking sector actually passed at least one dividend. It depended where you were in the cycle when it came out. But the central bank put out a directive to the banks to say, listen, they want us to shore up capital. We weren't sure where this pandemic was going to go. And so all of the banks actually retained capital through one dividend cycle. And then for us, very importantly, the credit issue, which was really the big story in the pandemic, has played out better for us than we thought it would. And so all of that, I suppose, talks to a build-up of capital and less demand for that capital. So the special is all about a sort of a point in time where we are right now today. That is the capital we're sitting on. It's in excess of what we need. And bear in mind, we generate a lot of capital going forward. Mm. So we've got plenty of capital for growth. But we are kind of sitting on this, if you like, this pot of extra capital. And it's great for us to get it back to shareholders.
Okay. All right. And almost every one of your business units experiencing growth as well. If just looking at sort of the headline numbers, your headline earnings per share is up, and that's driven by almost every business unit growing.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, again, it's still the credit story. It's been a big part of driving the earnings up. So these percentages still look quite big in terms of growth, and people are saying, "Wow, I didn't know the economy was doing that well." But again, it's still that base effect of sort of normalizing of credit. And again, it was a story this year. So that's really, drove a big driver of normalized earnings going up 23%. I suppose the message we are saying to the market is, listen, the credit tailwinds that have really been helping us, drive up earnings, that story now has come to an end. It's we've probably reached the lows in terms of our cost for credit. So we're down at 56 basis points, which is pretty low. We would sort of almost sort of say it's a cyclical low, and from here we would say that we should expect that slowly starts to trend up. And we talk about a loss ratio. Essentially, it's a percentage of earnings that we have to set aside for credit risk, and we talk about that range, if you like, being 1% to 1.1%. That's kind of the guidance we've given. And so we would refer to that range as a through the cycle range. So you should expect through ups and downs, that's pretty much where we should land, somewhere in that range. Now we're at 56 basis points. So half of
which is very low.
Which is very, very low. So people are saying, okay, but can the 56 basis points go even lower? Okay, we're saying we don't think so. We think from here, we're slowly going to tick up. We're not going to rocket back up, but slowly but surely we will tick up. And that's also sort of a normalization of lending. So as that lending activity also picks up and gathers pace, then you know slowly but surely you have to set aside more and more of your profits to cover credit risk.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I remember there was some time ago that there was accounting change in the way that credit risk is when you start counting defaulted. It was years ago now.
It was years ago. In fact, it's interesting you raise that because the first real test of that accounting standard was this pandemic. Because you know we implemented the standard and things were running fine, but we always knew if a big credit event happened, listen, this accounting standard really was going to get tested properly.
Yeah.
And it happened in the pandemic. I mean, we didn't know what event would do it, but it was the pandemic. And what it required from all the banks is this massive upfronting of credit provisions. Yeah. And you will recall where, you know, bank earnings, I mean, our own group, I mean, I think our earnings fell close to 50%.
Yeah, because you had to sort of put aside all this or, you know, write it off.
That's it.
Long before it even is actually really a risk.
Yes, because it's all model driven. You know, so you run these economic models that would now start to predict that customers are going to struggle to repay and you're going to end up with losses and this is what's going to happen to interest rates and this is what's going to happen to growth in the economy, et cetera, et cetera. So you model all this stuff and you get a number that pops out these models and this is the number that you have to now book in earnings. Of course, it's an estimate, so no model, you know, hindsight's always perfect, but you have to have some sort of basis. You book this huge amount. And then, of course, you see then how it goes. And I suppose for us, the outcome of that has been much better than we thought. You know, we obviously had to plan for the worst.
Yeah.
But it's been a much, much better story. So we have, you know, we don't have that pressure now to raise credit provisions because we did so much of it, you know, going into the pandemic. So that's really helped. So this, I suppose this accounting standard has now been tested. But you know, these things are always estimates and so, you know, one shouldn't look at them with the precision that, you know, sometimes is implied because it comes out of a model.
And then do you think, I mean, have you noticed, interest rates are going up, it's one of those things. Have you noticed that there's less demand for credit on the back of higher interest rates, or is that credit demand still fairly healthy? Because you guys are quite positive on the outlook for the South African economy, which is different to what most people are, to be fair. Is there still quite a bit of demand for, you know, just credit products in general, home loans, vehicle finance, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, Petri, I mean, we've seen demand in the secured asset classes.
Okay.
So, I mean, where are we seeing activity? We're seeing activity in mortgages. Definitely that market is reasonably buoyant. So that's good, and it's great to see. You know, for a long time, I think property prices have been in the doldrums. So that definitely picked up a little bit. So hopefully that activity continues. The other place where we've seen some good activities in vehicle sales,
okay,
and finance. Of course, there's been stock shortages, and there have been the floods in KZN, which impacted Toyota. I mean, there's a whole lot of other issues, but we have seen good activity coming out of vehicle sales. So a big rebound in new vehicle sales this year. So that's good. In the unsecured lending classes, you know, so these are like personal loans, credit cards. We've definitely seen much, much more sort of subdued activity coming from consumers, and that's probably not a bad thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it is the most sort of expensive form of lending for customers. So that's perhaps a, you know, slightly healthy outcome. And I think people really need to get a lot more confident, and incomes really need to recover, and inflation needs to come down before we see a pickup of that activity. And then our commercial lending, which is sort of into that SME space, our agriculture space, that's really has been going well. So we're pretty pleased with that.
And you're doing quite a bit of financing of energy generation.
Yeah, and that's in our kind of our wholesale corporate lending. Lots of lending now into infrastructure, energy projects, logistics. You know, that stuff really is picking up. I mean, it's something we flagged for a while. It's taken time to come, but the pipelines are good and we're getting the loans out the door, which is for us, you know, the thing that really matters, getting the money to work.
And I think where people don't always put two and two together is that the purpose of credit, if used properly, drives growth. because entrepreneurs come up with ideas, but somebody needs to give them the money, right? So yes, we go to the bank and we deposit our money at the bank, and the bank then essentially on-lends that out to someone starting a business, creating jobs, coming with solutions, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that's exactly right. And I suppose what you're talking about is investment spending as opposed to consumptive spending.
Yeah.
You know, you can obviously take on debt, and you can buy yourself, you know, a new fancy wardrobe. But that would be consumptive spending. Yes, there's a place and a space for it, but that isn't stuff that really is kind of going to drive economic growth going forward. It's the investment stuff that you spoke about. That's really where you start getting job creation. You know, it's going to lift employment. You know, it lifts taxes. You get that multiplier effect that sort of comes through that. So that's the stuff that we really need in the country.
So I was going to actually ask. I mean, a lot of the corporates in South Africa are going the way of generating their own power, and you know, in many cases, you know, the listed entity has many subsidiaries, so they can make 100 megawatts of power multiplied by a few, right? Are you finding a lot of demand for financing projects like that?
Yeah, plenty. So I mean, there's this 100 megawatt sort of liberalization and allowing sort of dropping barriers to entry, allowing people to kind of generate their own power, get onto the grid. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of activity going on in that space. So all forms of energy generation. So there's a lot of that going on. Of course, you know, we're doing our bit as a group. I mean, we are, you know, most of our power, I guess, is data systems.
And servers.
Lighting and aircon, you know. So we've got lots of solar wherever we can stick up solar, and I suppose everybody does their bit. But we are financing a lot of that. And interestingly, I mean, we've got some offerings now that we're trying to get into that retail space, you know. So on the eBucks platform, we have kind of solar kits and things that we're trying to get some adoption from retail customers. Of course, even, you know, for the individual household, it is still quite expensive. So as appealing as solar is, it's still often that initial outlay is often quite chunky for a household. Yeah. So I can see why, you know, it's not taking off as everyone would think, because it is still a little bit costly.
Is there space for like a bolt-on product to your existing mortgage or to a new mortgage to spend 150k?
Petri, we do that already.
Okay.
So these things sometimes get more complicated because I and certainly I'm sort of getting out of my area of expertise now, but you know, your roof structure kind of needs to be
reinforced,
appropriately strengthened to put panels on, because I think if you just, you know, hop up on the old ladder and whack a hole,
you might fall through the ceiling.
You could end up with a problem. So I think it gets a little bit more complicated, but you're right. I mean, I do think eventually we're going to get there. I think, you know, households are going to have some form of self-generation, just to look after the basics, you know, not run a whole house, but to give you a bit of lighting and, you know, maybe a little bit of powerful cooking and
keep your
and
fridge
that's probably
on.
Where we're going to go to. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, awesome. I mean, I think it's good to see that there's some optimism out there. A lot of, you know, a lot of the time we get the opportunity to speak to CEOs and CFOs, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, brace yourselves, it's going to get real tough. And sure, it might, but it's nice to hear optimism and to hear, look, there's opportunities out there, and people are embracing change and making the best of it, and you know, using credit for the right reasons.
Yeah, Petri, I mean, I think the important thing for us now in South Africa, I mean, if we're very short-term focused, you know, if you kind of just look down at your shoes, I mean, there's lots to be grumpy about. You're going to tell me inflation's up and interest rates are up and we've got load shedding and there's political noise. And I mean, there's just lots of, but the truth is, if you look out 18 months, and we've got high conviction in this view, is you're going to see falling inflation. And we're already seeing global energy prices turn and are starting to come off. We're seeing global food prices have also turned. And because we've got an independent central bank, because they are very, very focused on inflation targeting, And they have a hawkish outlook. They are going to get inflation under control. So we're going to, before we know it, we're back into the target range. Interest rates are going to come down. And then the structural reform. I mean, we mentioned energy projects, but there actually is a lot going on. I think if you kind of add that whole story up together, you're probably going to end up on the positive side, you know, to say things are not that bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's our view.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for sharing it with us, Alan. I really appreciate talking to you. It's really refreshing, and it was great being able to pick your brain for a few minutes, learn from the wise. Congratulations on a brilliant set of results. I'm sure there's lots of shareholders out there happy with a big fat dividend coming their way as well. So, yeah, thank you very much for your time.
Good. You're welcome. Thanks, Petri.
All right. That was Alan Pullinger, the CEO of FirstRand, who released a great set of results today. You're on Hot Business.